Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119 this evening, and we're going to continue looking at this psalm. This is a wonderful psalm, a beautiful psalm that is about God's Word. And it has so many verses in it. In fact, I believe it has 176 verses in this psalm. And it's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms and the longest section, if you will, of the Bible, and when you compare it to things like chapters and other things like that. But it is all about the Word of God, and it's broken down into 22 different sections. And each section of this psalm begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each line in the Hebrew poetry in that section begins with that letter. So in the first part of Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, in the Hebrew language, they all begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And then in verses 9 through 16, all the lines begin with the Hebrew letter Bet. And then on and on it goes. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at verses 57 through 64 as we think about keeping God's commandments. And that's the topic, the subject of this section of this particular psalm, verses 57 through 64, or the section title Het. And so in this section, we look at thinking about God's commandments and the importance of God's commandments. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight as we look at this section. Let's just read it together for a few moments, and then let's think about three main points, I believe, that are in this section of Psalm 119. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about your ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Now, I think that as we look at this section of Psalm 119, we can glean three basic reasons for keeping God's commandments. The first reason is this, that God is gracious, and He shows favor to His people and to those who keep His commandments. The second reason is that human ways are sinful. And if we trust in ourselves, then we're going to go astray in our life. But then the third reason is that God's commandments are loving, and they help to facilitate relationships among others and our relationship with God. So let's think about these three things as we think about keeping God's commandments. And as we listen to this psalm about God's commandments, let's resolve within our hearts and within our lives that we're going to follow the advice that the psalmist gives us in this section. First of all, the psalmist says he keeps God's commandments because God is gracious. And that's verses 57 and 58. Look at those two verses. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. God's graciousness is all about His giving. And God gives us the most precious gift that there is to give, Himself. And so the psalmist begins this section with these words, "You are my portion, O Lord." He really considers that God is the greatest gift, and that while he might be able to have other things, that God is ultimately the portion that he wants to be given. The word portion here indicates a part of the sacrifice that was offered in giving sacrifices to God. And if you go back and you study in the book of Leviticus, you'll find out that a portion of the sacrifice was given to the priest, and then sometimes a portion of the sacrifice was given to those who made the sacrifice. Well, here the psalmist is basically saying that God is his portion, that that's what God gives him, himself. Jeremiah reflected the same sentiment in Lamentations 3 and verse 24. After seeing the destruction of Jerusalem and the suffering of his people after the Babylonians had come in and laid waste to the city, and after having lost everything, Jeremiah still turns to the Lord and says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will trust in him." Sometimes it is, unfortunately, easy for us to mistake the physical blessings that God gives for God himself. And that is a problem that we must face within this life. We should never do that. And we should confess with Jeremiah and with the psalmist here that the Lord is our portion. God is the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God is our portion. And that is part of God's grace and God's favor toward us in this life. I keep God's commandments because God is gracious. But notice the psalmist says, "I have said that I would keep your words." Knowing that God is the greatest portion that can be given to him, he's resolved to keep the words of God. This should be our response to God as well when God gives himself to us, and that is for us to obey him. You see, God is the greatest giver, and he's given us all the things that we have in this life. They ultimately come from him. And so our only response to the Lord should be to obey him. Jesus said it like this in John 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And surely we love God for all the wonderful things that he has given us, for his grace and his favor and his mercy, his generosity toward us is wonderful and great. So if we love him, Jesus says, "Keep my commandments." Then he says this in John 15 and verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so if we desire for that love to be reciprocated toward us, then let's keep God's commandments. And so in understanding God's grace toward us and in keeping his commandments, we learn that God continues to favor and to show grace toward those who love him as he has promised. And the psalmist then says in the rest of verse 58, "Be merciful to me," or "be gracious to me according to your word," or some translations say, "according to your promise." We do make mistakes in this walk of life that we have, and when we make those mistakes, we want others to be gracious with us. We want them to forgive us. We want them to show mercy toward us. No one wants to be judged harshly for the mistakes that he has made, and yet sometimes that's how we act toward others, even though we don't want others to act like that toward us, or we don't want God to act like that toward us. The psalmist here recognizes that and says, be merciful to me according to your word, or be gracious to me according to your promise. And so we all need God's grace and favor in our lives. It is wonderful that the Christian has the great promise of God that the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cover his sins. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, we read, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. What a wonderful blessing that we have today, that the psalmist prayed for, entreating God's favor and grace as he sought to keep the Lord's commandments. So I keep God's commandments, first of all, because God is gracious. But then secondly, I keep God's commandments because human ways are sinful. Look at what the psalmist says in verses 59 through 61. He says, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. I thought about my own ways, the psalmist says, but then I realized that I needed to keep your commandments. When we think about our own ways, we quickly realize that our ways are not right. And I'm talking about the ways that we devise for ourselves. I'm not talking about God's ways, but I'm talking about man's ways and the things that we think we ought to do. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Yes, we do not need to lean to our own understanding, but follow the Lord in all of our ways. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah wrote this. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. And so the psalmist confesses that as well. He said, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. You see, when we correctly think about our ways, we know that we need to turn to the Lord's testimonies. And then he says this, as he's thinking about his own ways and the Lord's testimonies, he says this, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. You see, the sooner we move to obey God's commandments, the better off we will be. A lot of times we become impatient with God, and we want him to hurry up and help us, you know. And so we pray for the Lord to help us. But if we want God to hurry to help us, we need to hurry to obey him. Have you thought about that? That the sooner we obey God, the sooner he can help us within our life? Yes, that is exactly what the psalmist is saying here. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. You see, he knew that hurrying up to obey the Lord was the best thing that he could do for his situation. And hurrying up is the best thing that we can do for our situation. That is, hurrying to obey God. The psalmist wants us to act like Zacchaeus, who, when the Lord told him to come down from that tree, he made haste to receive Jesus into his house. Luke chapter 19 and verse 6. And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study or be diligent. The word literally means to make haste. To do what? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to give diligence. We need to make haste to know God's word and to obey His commandments within our lives. And the sooner we do that, the sooner God can make haste to help us. But then notice what else the psalmist says here in verse 61. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. And the one who seeks to obey God's word, even when the wicked pursue him, he will still remember the word of God. Because the wicked, even though they may control some outward circumstances, they cannot control our mind. They cannot control our thoughts. And in that area, we can still continue to serve the Lord. The Bible tells us to meditate upon God's word, Psalm 1 and verse 2, and to rightly divide the word of God, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And all of that involves thinking, and we must certainly use our thoughts to serve God as well. So the cords of the wicked may have bound me, but we can continue to remember God's law. And so I want to obey God's commandments because human ways are sinful. My ways are not the right ways. The wicked man's ways are not the right ways. And when we obey God and make haste to do His will, He will make haste to help us. I keep God's commandments because God is gracious. I keep God's commandments because human ways are sinful. And I keep God's commandments because God's commandments are loving. And they facilitate love among one another. Look at what he says here in verse 62 through 64. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. God's commandments are loving. And because they are loving, we need to thank God for His righteous commandments. Just as the psalmist says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Righteousness is the application of God's law within our life to facilitate good relationships among other people. That's in essence what righteousness is. And God's commandments tell us how to be righteous so that we can have not only good, but great relationships with other people. Psalm 119 and verse 172 says this, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And in 1 John 5 and verse 3, John writes, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. God's commandments are there so that we can live good lives and that we can facilitate loving relationships among those around us. And so God's commandments are loving and are not burdensome. We thank God for His righteous commandments. And when we keep God's commandments and others keep God's commandments, we have loving fellowship with those who obey God's commandments. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 63. I am a companion, a fellow. That is, I am in fellowship of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Now that ought to be the attitude of every single Christian today. That I am in loving fellowship and I am a companion of all of those who keep God's commandments. As we read in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. It's wonderful. It means we can dwell in peace with one another. We can have wonderful, loving relationships with each other. And we can enjoy the blessings that God has provided for us in this world. In Acts 2 and verse 42, it says that the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so continuing in the Word of God brings us close to one another and grants us fellowship with each other. Companionship. What a blessing, knowing that God's commandments are loving. But then this in verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of Your mercy. Teach me Your statutes. For us to enjoy the blessings that God has here in this life, in the earth that He has given, it is mandatory that we obey His commandments. The Bible tells us to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. And we can certainly enjoy all the things that God has provided for us in this life if we keep His commandments. It's when we go aside from His commandments that we cannot enjoy the blessings that He gives us here. And why is that? Because we will begin to abuse those things. We will begin to neglect those things. We will begin to go away from the purposes that God has put within those things. And as a result, we will hurt ourselves and we will not enjoy His blessings. And so God's commandments are loving. They are loving because they provide for us to love God in the right way. They are loving because they provide for us to love one another in the right way. And they are loving because they provide for us to love self in the right way. And we are supposed to love ourselves. We cannot love our neighbor without knowing how to love ourselves, because we're commanded to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so God's commandments are loving. And that's another reason why I want to keep God's commandments. Summing up what the psalmist says here, he says, I want to keep God's commandments. Number one, because God's ways are gracious. God is the greatest giver, and He gives me so many wonderful things. And I want to reciprocate the love that He shows toward me, and I do that by keeping His commandments. I want to keep God's commandments because human ways are sinful, and my ways will lead me astray. And when I obey God and I hurry to obey God, God blesses me greatly. And sinful man certainly want to bind me up to keep me from keeping God's commandments, but I will still regard God's commandments and laws within my life. And so human ways are sinful. That's why I want to keep God's commandments. And then finally, God's commandments are loving. They provide for us to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love ourselves as we should. And that's why I want to keep God's commandments. Are you keeping God's commandments in your life today? If not, then you need to start doing that this very evening, by listening to the commandments that Jesus has given for you to become His brother and a child of God. Jesus said you need to hear His word. You need to believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, verse 16. Why not obey Jesus' commandments tonight? And why not hurry to do that? The sooner you obey Jesus' commands, the sooner God can bless you within your life. If you need the prayers of the church at this time for whatever needs you may have, then we invite you to come at this time also and make those needs known while together we stand and sing.